Welcome back to Administrative Static. John Vecchione, Mark Chenoweth, and Janine Yunus is back from maternity leave. Welcome back to co-hosting duties, Janine.
Oh, thank you.
Good to have you with us. And we are joined by our colleague, Senior Litigation Counsel Peggy Little, to talk about another case at the Fifth Circuit en banc. Peggy, this is getting to be a trend with you.
Well, with panel decisions that are flawed, that is only to be wished.
So the case is national, and John has decided to give us some music on our...
I don't even know what that is.
But the case is National Center for Public Policy Research v. Securities and Exchange Commission, and that's joined with Alliance for Fair Board Recruitment v. Securities and Exchange Commission. Peggy, NCLA represents NCPPR in this case. Remind our listeners what is at issue here with this lawsuit over NASDAQ's board diversity rules.
Yeah, I'm happy to. NASDAQ, which is a securities exchange, adopted rules that have to be approved by the SEC. And their rules require that NASDAQ-listed companies have at least one board seat that is filled by either a woman or someone who identifies as such, and a second board seat that is filled by an underrepresented minority and or LGBTQ plus or identifies as either of the above. This is actually a simple case, in my view. The securities statutory scheme provides that the SEC has to not only approve all NASDAQ rules.
Which it did here.
It did. But it also has to be sure that the rules are, quote, not designed to regulate by virtue of any authority conferred by this chapter matters which are not related to the purposes of the Exchange Act. And the Exchange Act, as you might all know, passed in 1934 and amended in 1975, provides that there should be investor protection, fair and open markets, and other protections for to encourage capital markets. It has absolutely nothing to do with the diversity characteristics of companies that list on the exchanges, and the SEC's approval of the NASDAQ rule violated that statutory limitation.
So if that's right, then will the court need to reach any of the constitutional questions in the case?
Not at all. We think it's a pure statutory interpretation question. If you look at the reasoning that was deployed by the Supreme Court in West Virginia versus EPA, they did exactly the same. They took a look at the environmental protection statutes of the 1970s, said there was nothing in them that allowed the EPA to exert this sort of newly discovered authority under old statutory text to regulate in the fashion it did there. And this is even, in my opinion, a more compelling case because it doesn't even have any, at least in West Virginia, it was an environmental action. Here, this has to do with who sits on the internal boards of NASDAQ-listed companies, which has absolutely nothing to do with the securities laws, investor protection, encouragement of capital formation, or any of the other purposes of the Exchange Act.
And if what did the, go ahead.
What did the original Fifth Circuit panel say?
Well, it relied on the idea that NASDAQ was a perfectly private exchange and had a right to set its rules for its members, and that the SEC was doing nothing more than sort of blessing that private arrangement.
And if I remember correctly, they said that there had been a demand for this kind of diversity characteristics reporting.
An idea that has no limiting principle at all whatsoever. Just the idea that an unquantified demand by certain people for a certain kind of internal board regulation could lead to government authority to impose such requirements. And these are serious requirements because if you do not comply with the board listing rules, you can be delisted. In addition, you have to provide a compelled explanation for why you do not comply. And that's a compelled speech problem that is violates the First Amendment of the Constitution.
Do you think that the en banc court will have to reach the First Amendment question if it agrees with you on the statutory question, or will it leave that alone as well?
It can leave that alone because you do not need to reach the First Amendment, or in the case of AFBR, which is the co-petitioner here, which have raised equal protection concerns as well. And both the compelled speech and equal protection questions are very valid and very compelling, but you don't have to reach them if you just simply look at the limitations the statute puts on SEC's authority to approve such rules.
And say this doesn't have anything to do with fair and orderly markets.
Yes. And again, remember, this isn't just that this might fall within general language of the statute. There is a express prohibition in the 34 Act as amended that says the SEC is required to not approve rules that go beyond the purposes of the Act.
And if they don't approve this rule, can companies still do it on their own?
Oh, yes. And in fact, there has been a big move to do that. And there's nothing preventing companies from doing this at all. But to have this kind of diversity requirement forced on companies, I mean, look at Boeing. Boeing should be concerned about airline safety experts on its board, not what their diversity characteristics are, whereas other boards might want to include people from a diverse background, which they are absolutely free to do.
One of the interesting things about this rule is that it doesn't apply to foreign corporations that are registered for NASDAQ. I thought that was odd, but I guess they feel like it might be more difficult to have racial diversity for a Finnish company or something like that.
Japanese.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's very troubling how there are different rules. Also, you know, to the extent that...
But I do think they have women in Finland and Japan, so I'm not exactly sure why that one doesn't apply to the foreign.
Well, these are irrational distinctions. They encourage irrational discrimination and should be put to an early end by a fair construction of the statute.
And I will note that both Finland has the Lapps, who are looked upon as a oppressed minority by some, and Japan has whoever it is up in Hokkaido. I don't know who they are, but I know that they're supposedly the Ainu. That's who it is. So everybody's got somebody.
Well, actually, if you look at the list of underrepresented minorities, they tend to be somewhat Americanized, but also controversial. Some of the comments, for example, objected to the fact that veterans were not given certain status or that disabled people were not given certain status. And, you know, to the extent that the SEC wants to try to figure out who in Finland is discriminated against, it becomes both impossible and I think proves the point that perhaps the SEC should not be venturing into such waters.
Yeah, it might be outside their area of expertise. Yeah. So what happens now? What's the timing on this, Peggy?
Well, oral argument has been set for May 14th. That's a Tuesday. We're looking forward to it very much. We think we have a very...
That's just because it's in New Orleans. I know how you roll, Peggy. Keep bringing all these cases in New Orleans. It's very suspicious. People think folks go to the Fifth Circuit because they like the courts there. No. They have good restaurants in New Orleans.
They do have excellent food there.
I'd be more suspicious if she wasn't always going down there in like July and August. It strikes me.
That's right. May might not be the best time of year to go, but it's not Mardi Gras anyway, so we'll let you slide.
Well, that
this time.
The last trip was Mardi Gras.
John had that too. You had
well,
a Mardi Gras.
What happened was an injunction was issued the day before Mardi Gras, so there was no way to appeal it because you can't get into the building. Everyone's gone, so it was just completely shut down any public function.
That's yeah. Right. That's right. Okay, so May 14th is oral argument if I remember correctly, when this was argued before the panel, there was a split argument between you arguing for NCPPR and then counsel for AFBR arguing separately. Is that what you anticipate likely happening again?
I do. And also NASDAQ itself has a intervener presence, so they will be arguing for part of the time as well as the SEC.
Okay. And then that's what, 16 judges at the en banc for the Fifth Circuit, something like that. That's
This time it will be more fun. My first en banc before the Fifth Circuit was in days of COVID, so I had 16 tiny faces on my laptop screen with that's illegible right. captions.
That's right. That's right. You did.
It then still went well.
Well, excellent. I think that the other thing that we haven't talked about is the extent to which this is really all of this board regulation is an area of traditional state regulation. And the fact that the SEC is venturing into this really seems problematic from that standpoint, too.
Yes. And we have a very helpful amicus brief from 17 states that make that point, as well as the fact that they think that these rules contravene state anti-discrimination laws because of their very rigid rules about who is favored and who is disfavored, and that this, in fact, violates state law. So we think the case for this being the SEC venturing way far out of its statutory powers and its legitimate authority is very strong, and we are delighted that the court ruled that there should be en banc rehearing of a very flawed panel decision.
And it's rare to get en banc, right? So it's a great victory.
Well, we don't say victory yet, but it's certainly encouraging.
It's better than the panel result, for sure. And I do think that, you know, whether it's the Fifth Circuit putting down a marker or not, the SEC, this isn't the only area in which the SEC has been venturing outside of its normal ambit. And so just have a few seconds left. So I'll just say thank you to Peggy for letting us know about this case. Again, it's NCPPR v. SEC en banc at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit. Oral argument May 14th. Thank you, Peggy.
Thank you for having me.